Once in the Levant, the situation became even worse. Eleanor spent a lot of time with Uncle Ray, in fact, too much for Lewis's tastes. There were rumors of scandal. Rather than fight Nur ad-Din, the original objective, Lewis and Conrad went to Jerusalem and heard the appeals of King Baldwin III, who wanted to assert himself over his mother and regents, to attack Damascus, which was not at all an objective originally envisioned. It was probably a foolish move because Damascus was a potential ally against Nur ad-Din. But the Crusaders had arrived and they had to accomplish some sort of great deeds. Nur ad-Din was perceived as too powerful. Damascus was it. And in the summer of 1148, on the road to Damascus, the Second Crusade met with a fiasco. They attempted to besiege the city. It proved hopeless. Within days, they had to break off the siege, and it was an ignominious retreat to Jerusalem, and both kings then departed to Europe. For all of the efforts put into the Second Crusade, the results were more than disappointing. Perhaps the most important point that came out of the Second Crusade was not the embarrassing defeat at Damascus, not even the fact that Nur ad-Din went on to take Damascus several years later in 1154, the city capitulates to him. But the attitude, at least the French had, to Byzantium during the course of that crusade. And that is captured by an excerpt I wish to read from Odo de Duyol, who was the chaplain to Louis VII, who accompanied Louis on the expedition to the East. And he wrote a really curious work about the Second Crusade. He didn't talk about Damascus. It was rather embarrassing. He talked largely about the expedition setting out from Europe and as it progressed through Asia Minor, because in Odo's mind, this is where it really went wrong. And he had no doubt at who was at fault for that. And this is what he writes. Constantinople is arrogant in her wealth, treacherous in her practices, corrupt in her faith. Just as she fears everyone on account of her wealth, she is dreaded by everyone on account of her treachery and faithlessness. If she did not have these vices, however, she would be preferable to all other places. Now, the Byzantine Empire, which he calls Romania, a land which is very broad and exceedingly rugged with stony mountains, lies beyond and extending to Antioch on the south and bordering Turkey on the east. This is one of the earliest mentions of Turkey as a geographical place. Although all Romania, that is the Byzantine Empire, was formerly under Greek jurisdiction, the Turks now possess a great part, and after expelling the Greeks, have devastated another part. But where the Greeks still hold castles, the two peoples divide revenues. In such subjection, the Greeks retain their territory that the Franks had procured to them for them because they were on quest to Jerusalem. That's a reference to the First Crusade, which in Odo's mind reconquered all these Byzantine territories for Alexis I, conveniently forgetting the imperial field army. And the lazy people, by which he means the Greeks, would have lost all of it had they not defended themselves by importing knights from various nations, thus compelling gold to redeem gold. Nevertheless, they, the Byzantines, the Greeks, always lose. But since they possess much, they cannot lose all at once. For mercenaries do not suffice a people without forces of their own. Now, this is an interesting indictment by Odo. It can't be said to be shared by everyone on the Second Crusade, but it certainly was an opinion circulated in the court of Louis VII. And what is ironic about the Second Crusade is while it failed in 1148, there was no future crusade sent out immediately to rescue. The crisis passed quickly. I mean, Count Raymond got killed in a battle against Nur ad-Din. Jocelyn was captured, blinded, dumped in a Muslim prison. Nur ad-Din took Damascus, but that was it. The jihad never really came. Nur ad-Din recovered from a serious illness and spent most of his reign trying to win legitimacy by building mosques and endowing hospitals. Meantime, Jerusalem, in many ways, despite the fiasco at Damascus, was as powerful as ever. Within a year of the departure of the kings of the Second Crusade, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was dedicated. So the Second Crusade had a really anticlimactic aspect to it. It was preached with this urgency that Jerusalem was in danger. It was a fiasco. And yet within years afterwards, in fact, for a generation afterwards, the Levant was seen to be secure. The real problem and the real long-term consequences was the growing tension between Constantinople and the Western princes. And that is the next important part of the story.